Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Omnis Dream, and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and winters, and welcome to another episode of No Borders No Race. King Baby Duck here. So last week I talked about my excitement for Pokemon X and Y. Now that I have finally gone hands-on with it, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I fucking love this game. Everything from the battle sequences and the character customization to the Pokemon grooming and even those little promo videos you can make of yourself, I am just in awe of every little detail that has been captured in the latest from Nintendo's popular franchise. I picked up the X version of it, and I know a couple of friends who got Y, so we'll be able to trade off Pokemon and are in each other's games with one another. And already I've started reforming the old team I used to have back when I played Pokemon Yellow. My Pikachu named Sparkplug, my Pidgey with the nickname Freebird, and even my Squirtle who goes by the name of Leguizamo. Long story. All I need is a Cubone that I'll name Kane, and I am good. Seriously, the love I had for these games when they first came out has now reemerged. I have no idea why it took Nintendo and Game Freak this long to make a Pokemon game like this, but now that I see it all in its glory, I can say confidently that a true 3D Pokemon adventure was totally worth it. Now, I'm curious to see what they plan to do with the secret Pokemon Wii U title. Although I am not an MMO fan, I would jump on a Pokemon MMO title like it was nobody's business. Odds are it won't be that, but I can dream, right? Well, let's get this show underway. The sooner I finish here, the faster I can get to earning more badges. Remember, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, please buy their music and various other works, and you can find just about all these releases on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Here's Japanese punk band The Cro-Magnons, the third band formed by Blue Heart's legends Hiroto Komoto and Masatoshi Mashima from their 2007 album Cave Party. This is Kotatsu Neko. Kotatsu Neko.
Oh,
Hiromi's Sonic Bloom with Time Out from their Time Control album. Hiromi graduated from Berkeley here in Boston and has been featured on the albums of such artists as Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, Stanley Clark, and Akiko Yano. Sometimes she comes back to Boston to perform some intimate shows, so keep your eyes peeled if you're interested in checking out this talent live and in person. Speaking of live shows, this past Thursday I checked out the legendary Alice Cooper performing at the Lynn Memorial Auditorium. This was the second time for me seeing him live, the first back in 2000 during his Brutal Planet tour. For a guy who's 67 years old, he still acts like he's in his early 20s. He did a fantastic set list that mixed his classics like Welcome to My Nightmare and The Ballad of Dwight Fry with some of his more recent works like Dirty Diamonds and I'll Bite Your Face Off. He did a great tribute also to some of his so-called dead drunk friends, performing Jimi Hendrix's Foxy Lady and The Beatles' Revolution. And the props were all in full swing. The whips and swords, the massive Alice Cooper Frankenstein, and even the guillotine were all showcased. The fact that this guy, who has been performing for over 40 years, can still manage to bring forth such an exciting show is simply spellbinding. So if you ever hear that Alice Cooper is coming to your town, do yourself a favor and grab yourself a ticket. He's the reason why rock shows exist in the first place. No Alice, no Manson, no Zombie, no Kiss, no Gwar, no Slipknot, no Misfits, none of that. Imagine a world where rock shows were just the bands playing songs without any sort of excitement. It'd get kind of tedious after a while. So every time you go to a concert and you are given an amazing show, thank Alice Cooper. It'll be 45 years next year when he started out, and I doubt he's going to slow down anytime soon. In fact, I recall him saying that he'd retire 10 years after Mick Jagger does, so I see Alice going on past 80. In fact, why don't I play something from Alice Cooper, not one of his classics, maybe one of his more recent works. Actually, let's do something from the album he was touring with when I first saw him, Brutal Planet. This particular track, when I was younger, I used to tell myself that if I became a pro wrestler, this would be my entrance theme. Here's Cold Machine.
Lie.
Hirano with Maybe I Can't Goodbye from her Riot Girl album. I've been a fan of hers since her Haruhi Suzumiya days, and I guess you could call me one of her lifeliners, whatever that means, you know, those two chi otaku are sometimes fucked in the head, you know? Joining me once again are the Fleming Brothers from Wicked Anime and 42 Believer.
Yay.
So last week we were talking about the anime Nagasarate Airantu, and we were starting to get into a bit of a conversation about the harem anime genre, which makes me wonder, what happened to the harem anime genre? It was there, and now it's gone.
It's not gone, it's just different.
Terrible.
Okay. So
it went to college and it learned some things, and now it's just completely different. It's just not the same.
They went to the wrong college.
My little harem. It went to
harem genre went to a party school, and now it went to Amherst.
Ooh. Actually, know a couple people who went there, but they will say, yeah, it's true. But before we get into the conversation, let me ask you, because what do you constitute harem anime? Because I'm looking through this list, and I just see these things that are considered harem anime, and I just see love triangle stuff. In my honest opinion, when I think of harem, it needs to be at least three girls, because if it's just two girls, that's a love triangle.
It's exactly what I've seen across the internet is harems. Can be harems of two girls, and I'm like,
no!
Like, broad term, lots of things.
Otherwise, the Hallmark Network could just rename itself the Harem Network.
No, I agree. It definitely has to have at least three girls, or at least three guys who can just reverse harem. Like, that's the minimum.
Right, because I'm looking through this list here, and they have Baka and Tess listed here as a harem anime, and this is not harem, because really, it's Akihisa going between the two characters of Minami and Mizuki. Those are the only two that really have a thing for him. So, that's not harem. That's love triangle.
Is School Days on that list?
School Days better fucking be on that list.
Yes, School Days is on that list.
Seriously.
Oh, God.
Is Kissus on that list?
Oh, God. That is the worst. If you want to talk about the worst anime I've ever seen, Kiss Sist is, like, right near the
really?
Top.
I mean,
disturbing!
No, see, I'm not saying it's a good anime at all. I'm just saying the worst anime? Like, worse than Gargi's Wing?
Gargi's Wing is so funny, though.
No, the worst on my list is one called Akikan. This is the one where it's the magical... The soda cans that turn into magical girls.
What the
It is the worst book. I like gave up after the first episode. It was like, this is going against my intelligence. I'm getting stupid watching this anime.
Oh my god.
Harems, though.
Harems.
Harems.
Harems. Harems. Because I grew up watching Tenchi Muyo and Love Hina.
Love Hina.
And those were great series. I loved them. Then they were very clever with the humor, especially for the harem of the, no, Tenchi's mine. No, Tenchi's mine.
Yeah. It was cute.
It was cute. It was funny. It was. But then, somewhere down the line, people were like, hey, you know what we should do? We should take out all the cleverness of
and clothes.
Just put boobies everywhere. Boom! Turabu.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my God. Turabu is one of the worst ones I've ever seen. Don't get me wrong. The first season, I enjoyed for, like, half of it. But then when it went into Moto Turabu, I didn't laugh once.
I've heard horrible things.
It is... It just basically... I hate to use the word, but it took the few good things that was in the first season and then raped them and left it for dead or something else.
Whoa.
Intense.
But not like camping.
Question. Is Sword Art Online on that list? Because I would consider...
No, Sword Art Online is
well,
not on that list.
Well, that's a fucking travesty. It should be on that list because let's how many girls were interested in Kirito, let's be honest.
Was it two? Because I didn't see it.
No, it was... Good! Because it was Asuna and it was Suguha, his...
His not-sister.
His not-sister.
His not-sister wanted to jump his bones.
There was Silica, and there was Lisbeth, and then there was, like, the one cat lady, and, like,
what?
Yeah.
I ended once you watch it, man. You said
that
the
guy.
Words.
Cat lady.
So, yeah, there was a ton of girls interested in him. That pisses me off, because it's a harem.
Alright, how about, like, an anime series that you might know? Sekirei.
Sekirei? I love Sekirei. Absolutely love Sekirei. I really do.
Yep. I sort of enjoyed the first season, but mm-hmm. I felt like the second season like just went way too overboard with the fan service.
I guess so. I mean,
but the thing of it is, it had the same level of storyline that it had in the first season. They didn't sacrifice anything to add more fan
service. Yeah, and Sekirei is one of those animes that I will legitimately, openly admit to saying, no, I legitimately enjoyed that anime.
Not even a guilty pleasure.
What?
Not even as a guilty pleasure, just legit. Just
yeah, no, well, I guess it would be a guilty pleasure. I have it all on DVD, and like I liked it. Like I watched it, and I was like, this is good.
Even though it goes against physics with the fighting and the giant boobs.
Not as bad as I've seen though, and like
not as bad as like Ikitosen.
I have all that on DVD too, but
oh god.
But I don't enjoy that as much. I just got it because I mean I don't know.
You're a young anime lover.
Yes, young anime lover.
Yeah, but I'm not. But I've gone on record on the Wicked Anime Podcast all the time saying I'm not a boob guy. Like I don't understand it. Like I like other things, but like
he's not Parko Fogore and Zatch Bell singing about boobies all the time.
Yeah, so like I've never like understood Japan's obsession. I mean, like
it's
because
they don't have them.
I know. But that's what I like. That's what I like. We need to switch places.
I would say probably my favorite harem is High School of the Dead.
Really?
I love High School of the Dead. I don't know why.
Can you at least just say the manga, please? And pretend that the anime doesn't exist.
I love the anime.
Why? It's so wrong.
But it's so right.
Because they were like,
is it really harem? Because it's old. Because it's two girls fighting.
No,
over?
I would say that one could possibly be harem.
Well, because there is at least three girls that potentially like the main.
Okay, character. So then
and
yes,
then there's and plus there's the nurse character who always like
yeah.
rubs her face
yeah.
and rubs
yeah because
his face.
That,
oh no, whatever are we going to do?
Boink. Is an interesting rule that is typically broken in a harem. Not all of the characters have to love the main male protagonist in order for it to be a harem. They
Which
just,
is what made Love Hina they, great, because they all need, really didn't like
they
it.
They just kind of need to all be sexually involved, I feel.
But the thing is, but not even really sexually involved, because as we talked about last week, you know, Nagasarate,
Aranto,
they weren't really sexually involved with them at all. They were just like,
hey, it's the only guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's my only chance.
But see, one of the things that I liked about that one as well is they actually legitimately liked him. Like, they didn't like him just because he was the only guy on the island. They legitimately wanted him to fall in love with him.
Yeah.
Or with them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I liked about it, too. Which I think is the appeal of the harem genre to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is I do like harems, and as I said before, generally spread across all harem animes, the main character is never usually relatable, because generally they're not the man type. Like, they're not usually like, you know, like, I am powerful, and...
They're usually a fumble.
Look at all the women that are around me with my muscles. Yeah. No, it's, Mr., I'm so scrawny, I can't do anything.
Yeah,
God, this boy's so cute!
Yeah, and
the reason why he's like that is so that he can't make a direct decision about his own well-being.
Right.
Therefore, he can't pick a girl. So, yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
So, therefore... Yes.
Voila! The harem genre! Yeah.
So, and that's I think, part of the reason why I actually do like High School of the Dead over other harem anime is because he's not some fumbling fool. He's, like... He's it's not that he's a good character. I don't think he's, like, a great character.
No, he's kind of a dick.
Actually, no.
I'm sorry. That was something born from the anime, not the manga.
Because
I will go on saying that I love High School of the Dead, the manga. The anime was garbage.
I love
like,
the anime.
Especially the dub. They killed all the dub.
The dub is like the best part of that.
Well, and
the random internet memes that I just thrown in there.
And then the Sarah Palin joke.
And the same thing is too. Like, they, you know, they added things that weren't in the manga to do with the relationships of the girl.
Yeah.
That was just like, that wasn't in the manga. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was like, stop suggesting things, please.
Please keep suggesting things. I love it.
No, I hate it when they
suggest I don't think it's going to get a second season, though, but I legitimately enjoyed watching it.
That's right, it won't get a second season. Read the manga.
Although it just did start up again, so who knows?
I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was and just mindless fun, and I will be the first one to admit, I'm not a big fan of the harem genre, but I love that one. I love all the crazy boob physics, because I think they're funny, and they're stupid, and it makes it so much more entertaining to watch when you're just like, heh, they're idiots. No boob moves like that, ever.
Let's take a quick musical break, and we'll get back to this harem discussion. In 2007, J-pop artist Yuki released a best-of album called 5-Star. Here's one of the selections. It's called Hummingbird.
Just like I 割り切れないわ飛行機雲見えた時に Hummingbird fly away さすらう You'll fade away All the way I think of you そのための Song of you 精一杯の恋愛で神経性で Sleepless night 楽しんだもん Heavyweight 泣きたくなるんだ Such light on me You're my sun 私だけを照らす太陽 I'm shining 思いたいよ優しく抱いて
The boys from Hong Kong with the certs. They used to go by the name Royal Inserts, but changed their name for reasons that I don't quite know.
So what was the anime that you were talking about in the 42?
Aiken. That's however they pronounce that one.
That's a little different, though. That one wasn't made to be a harem, really. How was it not?
It was made just to be an ecchi, and so all the girls by default were just ecchi in general.
That's what I'm saying. It was, the focus wasn't whether or not he needed to pick a girl or fall in love with them. The focus was that just everybody had big boobs.
Everyone. Like, literally, the girl, the one girl with the red hair, I don't even fucking remember her name.
Was she like 6 years old?
No, that's the pink haired girl.
That's disturbing.
It is disturbing. But there's the one red haired girl, and like, she would literally, in scenes, just hold her boobs to her chest because like, they were too big to not hold to her chest. And I'm like, can this just not happen? Can you all go to hell? can all the animators have huge sacks of like balloons filled with water strapped to their chest made to run up and downstairs so they know how boobs work?
Not the animators, because the animators are probably like being forced to do this again. Being forced to do this again.
One of these days I'll work Studio Ghibli.
One of these days. No.
Arms Corporation. Sorry, no, okay. that was a cheap shot.
It's so easy though.
Let me ask: is the answer so obvious as to what happened with the harem genre? Why the harem genre isn't as good as it used to be?
I feel like me personally, like just because they switched. Like harem is now a
sub-genre.
Now it's fan service anime instead of harem anime. So where yes, there's a harem of girls, it's all for the fan service instead of the love story. Where in old harems, there was fan service, you know?
Yes.
Like, Kentaro would fall into a girl's chest all the time, but you're like, that's kind of funny. Like, I mean, like, he's clumsy, he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you'd have Yoku and Ayaka fighting off in the hot spring, being the
shit. Then they beat him over the head or something like that, but, like, now they're going into these genres and intentionally doing it, you know, like, the girls are taking their shirts off, like, on their own, and it's like, love me! It's just like, can I... No, please, I want to watch the story, please. And
it's like the Tucci people have taken control over what can be done in anime. It's like, well, we know what sells. We know the 1% of anime fans who will buy all the figurines and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, look at what Funimation has done. They're picking all of these shows over the good ones that are hidden gems.
Right.
Yeah,
it's because sex sells.
Yeah, it's true, but, I also feel like they're still marketed in Japan well, like, because that's what, I mean, Japanese otakus will respond to. That's not necessarily what we're going to respond to, though. And, because not many of those anime harems in particular get licensed. We just watch them because we know how to find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why there's less harems here in the United States now. Like, Love Hina made it over. Cool.
I think the last one that I truly can say I enjoyed was Shuffle.
Shuffle was good. Did you watch Shuffle?
I did not watch Shuffle.
Shuffle is dark.
Well, but you're not supposed to know that.
It starts off.
It takes a weird turn. Like if you watch the anime, don't let anybody spoil it for you.
A Madoka Magica turn?
No, I don't know, because I haven't seen it yet.
Had this discussion.
Yeah, we just did.
What I said was, when explaining it, was it's a cute harem with a bunch of... It's also based off of an Eroge. Yeah.
Most of them are, too.
So it was an Eroge first, and then they made a harem anime of it, and as we all know, it's kind of weird when... He actually chooses a girl in this series, which I thought was awesome. But there's a dark turn when he does, and as I explained it, the story gets almost as depressing as Elfin Lied. That's how dark it gets. As far as when like the story takes a turn, you're like, this is not the same anime I was watching. With like, where are the cute girls at right now? Because this is getting this is depressing. I would certainly check it out just for that factor.
It kind of switched to Higurashi like that.
I wouldn't say Higurashi. I would say No, yeah, we'll go with that. We'll just say we'll go with, yeah. Yeah, check it out. I would check out Shuffle as a harem anime. Even though, I mean...
There is plentiful amounts of distasteful fan service in it.
Yeah.
But it still works with the direction that it goes in, I guess.
Stick with it.
I still really like it.
Because, I mean, again, it's based off of an arrow guy.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Because I've seen so many anime series that try to do it, that they have so much fan service, and then they sprinkle a little plot into it here and there and there, and it just doesn't work. Like, a good example for me is one called Rosario and Vampire.
Really? Because I haven't seen it yet, but I wanted to check it out. I didn't know what it was.
It's this boy who, Tsukune, who kind of finds himself going to a school for monsters.
Yep.
And then he's...
I know the premise of it, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then
he's starting to be... You know, there's girls that are starting to like him, and even though they don't know that he is really human, except for one of them. Mm-hmm. One of them knows, because that's how she gets her superpowers, by doing a little kiss here and a little suckle of the blood, and she becomes the all-powerful Rosario Vampire, or whatever you want to call it. But this is a show that, okay, it kind of started out good,
mm-hmm.
but then... I think it was around episode 4, episode 5, it really lost its way.
I've got another one that's almost the exact same thing as that, which is Demon King Daimyo.
I've heard a lot about
this one. Well, it was a Sentai Filmworks release. Obviously, it didn't really do very well. It also on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
Along with Rosario Vampire. I watched the first episode of it, and again, it's like... Like, you know, you're in a school full of, like, demons and whatever, and like, you know, people are fighting, and, like, I mean, girls are getting their, like, shirts ripped off left and right, but, like, everybody is like, oh, that's so normal. Like, it's like, no, there's a girl with their chest hanging out here in the middle of class. Why aren't people, like, freaking out about this? That's weird. Like, you know, like, why aren't people making mention of this? Like
why isn't this the front page of the school newspaper?
Yeah. So, so that was a harem anime, too, because there was, like, I think there were, as far as I got, there weren't as many girls. There's like 3 girls at least in that, I guess. There's 3 of them on the box art, so I'm guessing there's 3, but I only watched the first episode of it. So along the same premise. Then High School D-Cross D is one of them, I guess, right? Is that a harem? Do they like
High
him?
High School DxD?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another harem.
Yeah,
it's
another harem.
It's a harem. Yeah.
In anime titles, the X is pronounced cross. Come on!
Who cares? Who cares? Who gives a shit? No, so yeah, that's High School DxD. I
take it.
Shut up. I will, you know what? From now on, I'm just going to say X just to spite you. Because I do things like that.
You're the sign of the X.
Oh god.
I'll break your spirit.
No, you won't. You try me. Come at me, bro. So no, I think the same thing has happened because with harems, same things happen with reverse harems. You don't find like almost any reverse harems that are good anymore.
Now, the only one I'm super familiar with is Ouran.
Yes,
as far as
well, Ouran is amazing, which is like pretty much the exception of the rule on reverse harem anime. It is the best. Single best harem anime you will ever find. Reverse harem anime you will ever find, ever.
Because it knows how to poke fun of itself, too.
It is the same...
As opposed to the manga, where the manga's, like, dead serious, and you're like, too much for me!
It's very self-deprecating humor, and that's what makes it so wonderful to watch, because... And it makes it wonderful for even guys to watch, because you're, like... Even guys...
It was one of my favorite series that year.
Yeah, and it's really well-animated, obviously, but, like, just this year, all right... One.
Oh, I know what you're gonna talk about.
Diabolic Lovers.
Yes, that sounds hilarious.
Diabolic Lovers.
I've actually seen episodes of it, and it is the worst piece of shite I have seen come out of this season so far, and it pisses me off because
worse than Amnesia.
maybe not worse than Amnesia, but like it's still really, really bad because it's a girl and. She just arrives at this house one day, there's no explanation of who she is, and when she goes in there, there's a bunch of vampires, and they all have the hots for her.
It's a vampire.
It's a vampire in the first harem, and they all are obsessed with drinking her blood, apparently. And also, one of them calls her Bitch-chan. They call her Little Bitch-chan, and I'm like, to hell. It's just like, reverse harem, this is what it's been reduced to. And it's played seriously. None of it's played for laughs. It's played like, yes, she is living in this house with all these men, and they all want to suck her blood.
Did Twilight make it to Japan?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's based
on... They did a manga version of Twilight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They totally did.
I've always thought that the anime equivalent to Twilight would have been Vampire Knight.
Yeah.
That's the Twilight in the anime, because it's just terrible.
Somebody told me a long time ago that I, like, legitimately had to watch that, but I never got around to it. So,
don't.
Let's take one more break and we can finish up with this discussion. Here's the band Metal Chicks, who you might know as the metal duo who wrote the score for Stan Lee's anime Hero Man from their self-titled debut album, This Is Gamma. the monstrous ska band Pistol Valve with Salska from their 2008 album Rat-a-tat-tat. We were on the subject of reversed harems. Now, 42 Believer, what are some other examples of reverse harem?
One that I actually liked that came out a few years ago, it was La Corda de Oro, Primo Paso. Oh, and it's weird. It's based on a visual novel. And it's about a girl going to a school that's to do with music. And, like, there's a music section in the school and a non-music section. And there's a fairy there, a legend of a fairy who helped create the school. So she goes there, and then one day she can see the fairy. No one else can. And suddenly they have a music competition, and she's entered into the competition. And what happens is that the fairy gives her, like, a magical violin, and so she can play it as long as she's actually, like, into the groove of playing it and feeling the music.
And if you lose, the devil will get your soul.
what I like about it is because she's not really interested in getting the guys. The guys are more interested in getting her, well, some of them. And then what is also nice about it is that she's actually has, like, a moral choice because she's in this music competition and she's using a magic violin that can play perfectly. So she is thinking to herself, is this a moral thing? It's not just a question of, yeah, let's just play the violin and I'll win the competition. She's like, I'm basically cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting that she actually has her own troubles outside of just boy troubles.
But there are boy troubles in it to make it a reverse harem.
Of course, there are enough boy troubles to make it a reverse harem. You know that one scene with Killia and the bedroom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of like a scene like that.
You mean
that.
The scene with Killia?
I love Killia, okay? Killia is my favorite host. Don't knock Killia.
He's not a bad guy. He was just playing the bad guy.
Shut up, Andrew.
What? I wasn't joking. That was true.
That's a line from the show.
I know. Reverse harems, they seem to... Because both of those, Oron and La Corda de Oro, which is getting another season, which I'm super excited about, they were both several years ago. And now you get something like Diabolic Lovers, which is like...
What do you think of Free?
Shit. I loved Free. Is that
a reverse harem?
It's not a reverse harem. Okay. Because, like, it's... Because
all I know is that there's a lot of guys and there is one girl.
There is one girl, but she's, like, just the token female, but none of them are interested in her whatsoever. And, like, it's not...
We're just interested in swimming!
and maybe each other.
No, yeah, I did like Free. It was actually pretty decent. The most of the man service was in that first episode. That's pretty much it. Like, most people, like, if you can stomach the first episode, the rest of the series is a lot better.
That's what they usually
You're
do.
A girl.
Okay, even Tristan said it wasn't that bad. Okay, even Tristan's like, this is half decent, okay? So, it's pretty good, And so did Alan from Baka Shift. He also said it was good. He loved it, like right. I did.
So, getting back onto the harem itself... Yes. What needs to be done to bring it back?
Just go back to basics. Just focus on the comedy and the actual relationship instead of what goes into a relationship.
This might sound stupid, but they should reboot Love Hina.
They actually should, because I love the manga, because they left out so much of the manga in the anime.
Oh, like, they should, like, Brotherhood or Helsing Ultimate Love Hina.
Oh, God.
No, I've always thought Tenchi loves Hina.
What's that?
Tenchi loves Hina. Combine the two.
Cross universes.
Crossover universes.
We are about 10 years too late for that to ever happen.
You know, when I was in high school, I was writing fan scripts for a Love Hina series with Jay and Silent Bob. I was just thinking, you know, Kitar gets beat up. Who would get beat up a lot? Jay and Silent Bob would. Mostly Jay. He broke up the Motoku. He snoochie boochies, Naganoochies. And she would take out the surges.
Oh my gosh. All right.
So.
Yeah, in order to actually get the harem genre back on track, it needs to obviously go back to its basics. And I think the only way to do that would be to copy an anime that's already been made.
Okay.
So,
I think it's back to the characters, less focus on the boobs. I think that's pretty much it. I think they underestimate the fact that, yes, sex does sell, but why don't you have maybe the start of it is having sex sell, but also have characters. And,
yes,
and because you can have both. It's just most people would prefer one or the other.
Which is, I think, why I like Shuffle so much back to that, because it had a lot of unnecessary fan service, yet it was so good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, another harem that I just thought of that I totally forgot about was The Familiar of Zero.
Yeah.
You know, you remember
yes,
about that?
I remember that one.
Because Victoria from our show, who does Tumblr and is on our podcast all the time, she... me and her watched it together, like we marathoned all four seasons, like, together at the same time, and so we could have a discussion about it. That was a harem, and, like, at the end of the show, like, he chooses a girl. That's actually, like, really helps out the harem genre, is when they actually choose someone.
Yep.
You know, so...
That's why Negima ended so disappointingly, because he didn't choose... someone to be his card.
It's true, but then they kind of fixed it with Love Hina again, which I actually enjoyed. I really enjoyed Love Hina again. Like, the way they did it.
I was really disappointed with it.
Would you guys consider the second season of Steins Gate to be a harem?
I haven't seen any of Steins Gate.
Me neither.
Okay. Never mind then.
Would you?
I think partially I would, because there are a lot of females. He does choose one. Uh-huh. Which helps, but there's Kurisu, there's Ferris, and then, oh my god, who's that other chick who's kind of, he's actually a dude.
The Trap?
The Trap, yeah. It's a trap! So there are a couple characters that are, there are more than two characters who are interested in him, which would qualify. But, I don't know. Because it's weird, because that's not at all what Steins Gate is about. Steins Gate is not a harem! Please do not quote me on that! I wouldn't say it's a harem. It's got harem elements. So if anyone at home is being like, what are you saying about Steins Gate? That's for clarification.
Oh, hey, you know what was another good one? Haganai.
Never heard of it.
Boku wa Tomodachi.
Oh yeah, Boku wa Tomodachi ga.
It just finished its second season,
Really, really heavy on the fan service again.
Not as much as others, though.
Not in the second season. Like, in the first season, it was like, all right, this is cool, we'll go heavy on the fan service, but I still enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
And then second season actually dumbed it down a little bit.
On the first two episodes, they were pretty heavy. And yeah. then the last 10 were really, really wild.
That's another show that was, like, just so cute that I couldn't not watch it, and, like, it was really good. Mm-hmm. So, Haganai. Boku wa Tomodachi ga.
Cool.
That one's really good, and that was actually, like, the beginning of this year, last season.
Yeah,
maybe, end of last year. Like, really, really recent, and that was the second season. The season before that was still, like, I don't know, I think we're in Florida, right? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Cool. Guys, thank you so much for joining me again on No Borders, No Race, and hopefully we can do it again next week.
You're welcome.
Here's a B-side from Queens of the Stone Age's Era Vulgaris album, which was my pick for best album of 2007. Featuring Trent Reznor, this is Era Vulgaris, You Know What You Did. Kuroko would blaze from her 2009 album Epsilon no Fune. It serves as one of the theme songs for the popular anime series Shakugan no Shana Second, which itself also spawned a third series and a couple of OVAs. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, or if you are in a band and would like to be featured on No Borders, No Race, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade, and we are on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. My thanks once again to the guys over at Wicked Anime and 42 Believer for stopping by. We're going to end the show with the band Scarsborough, a side project formed by L Garden drummer Hirotaka Takahashi from their 2010 album Stroke. This little beauty is called Bedspring Symphony. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.